chapter 3. Paul writing here, as the Holy Spirit leads him, he writes, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." He's chiding them for being immature. "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire." Lord, we come again looking to your word. We know that these words that you've given us are perfect. We know that they are laden with truths, principles, precepts that we need. This morning we look at this passage and help us to glean from it those particular truths that you have for us today. I pray that you would open our understanding. I pray for anyone here without Christ that their heart would be dealt with by the Holy Spirit and they would be receptive to that dealing, that they would come to Christ today, know the joy of salvation, the blessing of knowing your sins are forgiven, and you're back in a right relationship with God. And then I pray for every believer, might we just heed the warnings, heed the truths, put them into practice in our lives, that we would be doers of the word, not hearers only. Help us. And certainly, Lord, I plead with you to help me, that I would say and do all that you want said and done here, according to your will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I titled this, Co-Laborers with God. In verse 9, Paul says, "For we are laborers together with God." Now, I want to begin today by making this statement. Every one of us in this room has some things that we regret. Some may have more regrets than others. But all of us live with some regrets. Now, just what do I mean when I refer to regrets? Basically, I'm referring to our being sorrowful over things we've done or things we wish we hadn't done. Webster defines regrets as sorrow, especially over one's acts or omissions. Every one of us has things in our lives that we sorrow over, either because we did them or we failed to do them. And here's what I've realized It seems like the older we get and the closer we get to the end of our lives, the more things we regret. Let me illustrate. When our children are all grown and gone from our nest, it's then that we regret not spending more time with them, being more involved in their lives. As we grow older and grow nearer to retirement, it's then that we regret not putting away more in our nest egg for retirement. Or maybe we regret not purchasing more life insurance when it was a whole lot cheaper than it is now. Have you ever looked at those charts for life insurance? You can buy life insurance when you're 20, 25 years old for pennies. When you get up in your years like Harry, does it cost you a fortune? As we get older, we regret not having taken better care of our bodies. And now many of us have to deal with the abuse that we put our bodies through. But there's one particular regret that Christians have as their days pass. I believe that's the regret of not having been more faithful in serving the Lord. Far too many Christians spend their days here on earth consumed with all the things of the world and give very little or no time in serving the Lord. Far too many Christians strive to lay up all manner of treasures here on earth and neglect the call of Jesus to lay up treasures in heaven. Far too many Christians take lightly the biblical mandate to serve God and the gracious opportunity He extends to us to be laborers together with Him. Consequently, when their end nears, these Christians are full of regrets over their failure to accomplish anything for God. This morning, Paul writes here, and he declares to us our awesome position bestowed upon us by God. God Himself has placed us in the position of being co-laborers with Him. He has granted us the awesome opportunity not just to do His work, but to join with Him and to become a worker alongside of Him and to be a part of the great work He desires to do in and among men. That's bestowed upon us. This morning, I believe every one of us needs a purpose on our own heart to live for God, to obey His commands, the command to serve Him, to obey the commands that we ought to seize this opportunity to labor together with Him. We would live for God so that when we get to the end of our life, we wouldn't have a bunch of regrets. How can we seize this opportunity to be co-laborers with God? I want to talk to you about that this morning. Seizing the opportunity to be co-laborers with God. Well, number one, we can do that by recognizing the privilege of laboring with God in verse 9. We are laborers together with God. Listen, Paul wants us to understand God Himself invites us to come and join with Him. Yoke up with Him, so to speak, in the work of saving men's souls and changing people's lives. I used the wheat field there because Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, He'll send laborers into the harvest. We are invited to be a part of that. There's a great harvest to be done, and God says to us, I'm inviting you, come labor with me. What a privilege that really is. And the privilege is that we labor with Him to see people get saved, delivered from hell and the power of sin and the devil's grip, and be delivered to new life in Christ, and then to be able to be a part of seeing their lives changed. What a privilege. By the way, it's a privilege we don't deserve. Think about this. God says to every one of us, come, labor with me. I want you on my team. How many of you remember when you were back in school when they used to pick up ball teams? How many of you remember that? I don't think they're allowed to do that anymore because, you know, it's not politically correct. It might injure somebody's ego. But in our day, we didn't have egos. It didn't matter, you know, whatever. Your self-esteem, who cared? We had one way when we were picking up ball teams, we would throw the bat. Maybe some of you did this, and the other guy would grab it. Then we had to do this. And the last guy that could hold the bat got to pick first. Well, you'd be there trying to grab that bat. But then you pick teams. Oh, I want this one. I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. I hope nobody in here was the last one to be picked. Didn't we hate that? When nobody wanted you on their team? Listen, friend. God is saying to every one of us, I want you on my team. Isn't that a privilege? Isn't that a blessing? And He's not doing it because of anything we are. You know, when teams pick when we were kids, they pick based on your ability to hit the ball or run or catch or whatever you can do. See? God's not looking at our abilities. He's not looking at anything about us that deserves to be picked. He just says, I want you. What a blessing that is. There's nothing about us that causes us to deserve this opportunity. On the contrary, we're totally undeserving, yet God extends this invitation. Join with me. Labor with me. You know, I can never get over the awe that God has allowed me to be a pastor. I know me. I would have never thunk. But God says, I want you to be on my team. I want you to be a part. I'm amazed that He allows me that privilege. And by the way, God didn't look one day from heaven, you know, and say, look at that Art Gilmore. He's smart and good looking and, you know, all that. Well, that's all true. But really, though, God didn't look down from heaven one day and say, boy, he's the epitome. I'm going to choose him. No, He uses the foolish things of the world and the weak things of the world and all that. God just looked down from heaven and He said, that Art Gilmore, he got nothing to offer. But I'm going to let him be on my team anyway. Amen. It's a privilege. And we ought never to get over that privilege. It's a privilege we don't deserve. It's a privilege we cannot earn. This isn't something we have to work for. It's a privilege extended to us as just as a believer. It's not based on how good we are. It's not based on how hard we work to develop our talents and all those kind of things. No. There's nothing we can do to earn this. I was thinking about, I don't play golf. And the reason I don't play is because they cut the grass where everybody else plays and they never cut it where I play. If you're a golfer, you'll get that. I don't play. My barber plays golf adamantly. So I talk to him about golf. I pick his brain a little bit, learn a little bit about golf. He always has the tournaments on when I go there. If there's somebody playing, I say, where are they playing? You know, he'll give me a little bit. And I learned this, how they have it set up. All week long, these guys have to qualify. And they play all week to see who's going to be in the tournament on the weekend. You got to make the cutoff. Means you have to have the right amount of strokes, or you got to have the right amount of no strokes, I guess. Anyway, but you got to make the cutoff, or you don't get to be in the tournament. See, these fellas have to work all week to get to the place where they're invited to be a part of what's going to happen now, the good stuff. I said that because I want you to understand this. It's not that way with God. Everybody is invited to be a part of the tournament, so to speak, the good stuff. And this is a privilege offered by grace. Getting what we don't deserve. It's not offered to us because of who we are, what we are, talents we have. By the way, God don't need talent. I don't know, man always thinks, you know, you got to have talent to serve God. No, God can give you talent. God can make you able. God needs willing people. This privilege is based solely upon the grace of God, despite our lack of abilities, our weaknesses, our propensity to mess things up. You ever think about that? Hey, listen to me. God invites us to be on His team, to be a part of what He's doing, to co-labor with Him, and He knows we're going to mess things up. How many of you have kids? I like this. Have you ever invited your child to help you do something? You know, when the kids are little and you get a paintbrush and a roller out, you know what they want to do? Help daddy paint. But if you're like me, well, okay, we'll have to let you paint a little bit. Now, when we do that, we know they're going to mess up. Now, paint right here along this baseboard area and don't get it on the carpet and don't go over here and you look back and here's it on a carpet, you know, the light fixture, oh, everything's painted. But, you know, they want to help daddy. They want to be a part. So we say, okay, we know they're going to mess up. We let them do it anyway. Hey, gals, how about when you're making cookies? And they want to help. Maybe it's a pie. Maybe it's a cake. You know they're going to mess up. They're going to do something wrong. And you know these cookies are going to come out like bricks. Or else they're never going to brown or whatever. But you go into it knowing, hey, they're just a kid, and you know, it's probably not going to be a real successful effort here, and they're going to mess up, and I'm going to have to help them, so that they, but we invite them anyway. And that's how God has done with us. See, when we invite our kids to help us, it's not based on their talents or their abilities. The fact is, their participation is probably going to make our job harder. But by grace, we allow them to have part in it. And that's what God has done to us. And He offers us, every believer, that opportunity to labor together with Him. We ought to be flattered about this. And you know, we as believers have a far more valuable opportunity granted us by God to labor together with Him than anybody else. Think if some great celebrity wanted you to labor with them. You would be so tickled. You would, hey, this one wants me to sing with them. This one wants me to play the instrument with them. This one wants me to play ball with them. Whatever. Think about this. Almighty God wants you to be on His team. So number one, we need to recognize the privilege. Number two, we need to recognize the prerequisites required for laboring together with God. Look at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now, we have this opportunity to labor together with God, but we must realize there are some necessary prerequisites. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, God needs some clean vessels. Hello. Now, I'm not talking about sinless vessels, but I'm talking about some clean vessels. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. Clean vessels. God wants clean vessels that He can work through. What I'm talking about is some folks who have purged the sin, the known sin, from their lives. People who have kept their sin account short and been willing to confess and forsake the sin they have in their lives. You see, when we're in that situation where we've confessed our sin, it's then that God is able to fill us with His power and to use us in a mighty way. He needs some clean vessels. Gals, imagine yourself making a nice dinner. You need a skillet. Well, I'll guarantee you're going to look around for a clean one. You're not going to grab that one that you used yesterday and has been laying there, you know, and it's kind of growing and all that. No, no, no. You're going to go find a nice clean one. Because you have a work. And you're trying to do something. Many Christians, unfortunately, have had to be put on the shelf by God. You know why? They're not clean vessels. Does God want to use them? Yeah, he says, come join my team, be a part of my team. I want you on my team. I want to use you to accomplish things in the spiritual realm, and you can be a part of what's happening. But then God says, for right now, I'm going to have to put you on the shelf. There's some things in your life that are just going to hinder me being able to use you. Now, if you take care of them things, you know, have you ever heard about a baseball player being benched? Every once in a while, a coach will have to sit a player down and let him sit on the bench for a little while because maybe there's some things that are hindering him. Well, see, spiritually, sometimes God has to put us on the show. Why? We have things in our life that are hindering us from being able to be used. Does he want to use us? Yes. But we've got too much dirt. And then I want you to understand this. God's looking for cooperative vessels to work through. Go over to Romans chapter 6. Paul says something real interesting in Romans. Well, a lot of interesting things in Romans 6. But he says something there I want you to see this morning in verse 13. He's talking about dealing with your sin in your life. He begins by saying we shouldn't continue in sin, the grace should abound. And he's going on about how we've been delivered from the power of sin. We need to deal with our sin. We shouldn't live in our sin any longer. But I want you to look there at verse 13. In 12 he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Notice he says, yield yourselves. God's desire is that we yield ourselves. What does that mean? Give way to. Yield is a willing giving way to something or somebody. You ever come to a yield on a highway? Most people don't know what it means. I'm convinced. Yield means give way to. That means you allow the traffic that's flowing to flow and you merge in where you can. You yield the right of way to those who are on the highway. Anybody listen today? I'm giving driving lessons. I get irritated at yield ramps. See, we got people that get up there and stop. You say, what are you stopping for? Doesn't say stop, says yield. Then we got the other extreme, people who do the New Jersey yield. That's when you come to the top of the ramp and you put the pedal to the metal and say, look out, here I come! No, yield means you give way to the traffic that's flowing. When Paul says we're to yield to God, we're to give way to Him. Give ourselves willingly. Allow Him to have the control. See, what I'm getting at is, God is not going to force us to serve Him. He offers us the opportunity. I want you on my team, but He's not going to force us. He says, yield yourself to me. And that's what we need to do. And I find this, many Christians refuse to cooperate with God. These are self-willed. These are sin-oriented and sin-controlled. These are what we would call carnal Christians who will never accomplish anything for God in their lives. I can't imagine dying and going to heaven and having to stand before Jesus and having never accomplished anything for Him in my whole life. We'll get to that in a few minutes. God gives us an opportunity to labor together with Him. But we have to want to. We have to yield ourselves. And then God's looking for some consecrated vessels to work through. What am I talking about? He's looking for some vessels that are in touch with Him. He's looking for some vessels, some people who walk with God on a daily basis. And you know, the lives of these kind of people will testify that they walk with God. Think about this. If you're busy doing something, you've got a bunch of, say, ladies, you're cooking, and you've got a bunch of utensils here, and you need one, and there's one right there, aren't you going to grab the one that's closest to you? I talked about a skillet a while ago. If you've got a wonderful skillet laying right there that you'd love to use, and boy, it's just a good skillet, it's clean, it's ready to go, you're not going to say, well, leave that one now, I'm going to go over it. You're going to grab that one that's close to you. I believe God does the same thing. There's a work to do. He grabs the vessels that are close to Him. Hey, here's one. Plug it in. That's why it's important we stay close to Him. And then He's looking for some consistent vessels to work through. I'm talking about Christians who are not hypocrites. I'm talking about Christians that, you know, you're not just Christian on Sunday. You're Christian 24 hours a day, every day. Doesn't matter if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. You're still a Christian. You still live by God's Word and the principles and precepts of God's Word. You don't practice situation ethics. You don't put Jesus on Sunday and just put Him in the closet Monday morning and say, I'll be back next week. You're a consistent Christian. And God's looking for some Christians, some consistent Christians. I told you about the time I had the car that was inconsistent. It was that old Rambler that I actually bought from Pastor Fedena. Had four doors. Every door was dented in. Nash Ramblers were noted for their bad front end. Tyburn Road, where I went to work, was potholes. I would run over the pothole patches and things, and that front end would start doing this. I'd be going 55. I'd have to slow down to 10 miles an hour to stop it. And then speed back up again. It didn't have a gas cap. I lost a gas cap somewhere, so I stuck a rag in there. That thing looked like a rolling bomb. Just waiting for somebody to light the match. The reason I got it was Pastor Fedena got it for his wife. She, you know, to run errands and stuff to the store. And she found out she would go to the store, go in the store, come back out, and it wouldn't start. So they'd come and jump it off and get it going. Well, then it would start for who knows how long. Then all of a sudden one day it wouldn't start. It was inconsistent. You know, that's bad when you have a car like that. You Ford owners, you know what I'm talking about. You just never know when you turn the key what's going to happen. Will it or won't it? Well, how do you think God feels when He has inconsistent Christians? Are they going to serve Me today or not? No, we need to be consistent on our Christian lives. So many profess Christ and serve the devil. Many claim to believe the Bible, but they reject the parts they don't like. Wow. Many say they love the church, but do little to support it. I'm not just talking about tithes. I'm talking about support it in attendance and being a part of what's going on and all. Then thirdly, we need to be co-laborers with God by recognizing the participation required for laboring with God. He says there, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. See, every one of us is accountable. I preach to you many times about the judgment seat of Christ. And every one of us who's saved is going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account. Now, we all have gifts and abilities that God's given us according to Romans chapter 12. Paul was kind of alluding to some of that when he said, some planted, some watered, but God gave the increase. We all have abilities that God expects us to use, whether we're a planter or a water or whatever it is. He's given us those gifts and abilities. Romans 12 gives us all the gifts that God's given us for the New Testament Christian today. And every one of us has at least one of those gifts. And He expects us to exercise it and use it for Him. And one day we've got to give an account. Then fourthly, we can be co-laborers by recognizing the production that results from laboring with God. You see, when we labor with God, it's going to bring results. Paul says there, and let me get back to Corinthians. Man, I'm still in Romans. Paul says there in verses 6 and 7, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He says it in verse 7 again. But God that giveth the increase. See, God honors faithfulness to His work. If you'll get busy doing God's work, He's going to honor your faithfulness. You know, we go out here Thursday night after Thursday night after Thursday night soul winning. Now, some of you have never been. I invite you to come. Be a part of it. But you know, many Thursday nights we come back and we haven't won anybody to Christ. We've handed out, Harry and I were out together on the other night. We handed out, I think, 50 tracts. I think we counted 50 doors we knocked on. Now, we didn't get anybody saved. But we were obedient to the Lord and we spread the word and we put the seed out like He said to do. And you know what God does? He'll honor that. He'll bless that. We may not have had anybody saved Thursday night, but God's going to give us people saved. Huh? He honors obedience. He honors faithfulness. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Man, I think about some people who labored and labored and labored and they didn't have instant results. Adoniram Judson, 7 years before he had his first convert in Burma. Wow. I thought about David Brainerd. I've read his diary and things. And he labored in this area for 2 years before he ever had one convert. By the way, his first convert was Chief Tatamy. First Indian he baptized in America, Tatamy, right up here. But 2 years in his diary, he agonizes. He was ready to quit because he wasn't seeing anything happen. He just didn't. He was beside himself. See, God gave the increase. And he reached many, many more over the next couple of years before he died. God uses faithful vessels to bring others to Christ. And we lay up treasures in heaven by bringing others to Christ. There's a production that results from laboring with God. Listen, the thrust of it this morning is God wants us to be co-laborers with Him. He invites us to be co-laborers with Him. One day, if you're saved, you're going to give an account for how you co-labored with Him. Time's running out. We don't know how much time we have. You say, well, I'm just a young person. I got a lot of time. You don't know that. You say, I'm an old person. I don't have much time. You don't know that. But we know this. We need to seize every opportunity and redeem the time. And live every day so that we're not going to have a bunch of regrets. So that we don't have to keep looking back and saying, boy, I wish I had done this. Boy, I wish I hadn't done that. We need to get in our hearts and minds, man, I'm going to be a co-laborer with God. I'm going to get busy for Him. I'm going to be a clean vessel, a consistent vessel. I'm going to be a yielded vessel. I want God to use me. And I'm going to get busy for Him. And labor in His field. And trust Him for the increase. Hey, you co-laboring with God? Some of you are. Some of you have been busy. Some of you, you understand God has a work for us to do. Others, you haven't been doing much. You need to get busy. Let's bow our heads. Co-laborers with God. And let me say this. You cannot co-labor with God if you're not His child. You cannot be His child if you've never been saved, never been born again. The Bible tells us, as many as received Him, that's Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So first and foremost, the need of every one of us in this room today is to be a child of God, to be saved, to be born again. I wonder how many in this room could say, preacher, I've already done that. I settled that issue. I am born again. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm a child of God. I remember that time where I invited Jesus Christ to come into my heart and ask Him to save me. Here's my hand as a testimony. Would you hold it up high? God bless you. You can put it down. Some could not raise their hand. I wonder if there's some here today say, preacher, there's never been a time when I've been saved. I can't co-labor with God because I'm not His child. But I want to be. And preacher, today I'm asking God to help me. Preacher, would you pray for me that I'll get saved? I'd be happy to. But I can't pray for you if I don't know who you are. You're here today, right now, God's speaking your heart about you need to be saved, and you want to be saved. I want to pray for you. Would you just slip up your hand so I can pray for you? I won't call your name. I won't come to where you are. I want to pray for you. Preacher, I need to be saved today. Here's my hand. How many believers in this room could honestly say today, Preacher, I believe to the best of my ability, I am a co-laborer with God. I'm trying to labor for Him and work for Him and live for Him and do His work and do His will so that I don't have a bunch of regrets in my life. Preacher, I believe I'm a co-laborer with God like He wants Him to be. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? God bless you. God bless you. That's wonderful. I want 100 to say, Preacher, I haven't been busy for God like I ought to be. I haven't been co-laboring for Him. He's invited me to be a part of His team, to be a part of what He's doing, but I really haven't seized the opportunity. But today, I want to. From this day forward in my life, I want to seize that opportunity to be a co-laborer with God like He wants me to be. And that's my decision today. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hands are going up all over this room. That's what I need to do. That's what I want to do, preacher. God bless you. God bless you. Let's stand together. Is it 485? All right. We're not going to sing. Let's stand together. We're going to have the organ play. I'm going to have a word of prayer. Listen, if you're not saved, as soon as we start to sing, I want you to slip out of your seat and come and shake my hand. That won't save you. But it will let me put you with someone, a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady, take the Bible and take it to a quiet place and show you how to be saved. Most important decision you ever make in your life. If you're making a decision today, be a co-laborer with God. I want you to come and do business with Him. Whatever He needs to do in your heart and life, you just come. Do business with Him. You don't have to tell us about it. You just come. Father, bless the invitation. Help us to be willing and wanting to be the co-laborers You want us to be. And for that one who's here without Christ, bring them that they'll be saved today. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come today? God, speak in your heart. As the music begins, will you slip out and come? God's dealing with your heart about decisions you need to make and you want to make for Him. Will you come? Folks are coming. Maybe you need to. I want to be a co-laborer with God. I want to put being a part of what He's doing as a priority in my life. Will you come? Will you come? God speaking to your heart. Let's get a songbook. 485 in your songbook. We are going to sing. Have thine own way, Lord. 485 in your songbook.